Well, it's good to be with you this morning. Let me add my welcome to that of Matt's, especially if you're joining us online or if you're here visiting or new with us. It's lovely to have you join with us. Please do keep Psalm 13 open in front of you as we come to look at that part of God's Word, and I'm going to pray as we come to look at it together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do know each one of us through and through. We thank you that your word shows us that. And we thank you that your word helps us to know how to respond to all the different situations in life. We pray that you would help each one of us to engage with you as we hear you speak to us now. Pray that you give us minds that can understand and hearts that are willing to receive your word and eager to put it into practice in our lives. And pray that what we hear this morning would be helpful for each one of us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder what how long question you bring to God. Or what how long question you would ask God if you could. Imagine there might well be more than one. Asking how long isn't necessarily the sign of absent or failing faith. In fact, it can well be the evidence of faith. How long will I have to endure chronic illness? How long will I battle the mental torture of anxiety and depression? How long will it be awkward for me to be around other people or in a crowd? How long do I have to put up with a job that I hate and workmates that are so annoying? How long will things at home be like treading on eggshells? How long will my kids keep speaking rudely to me? How long before that family relationship is restored? How long will I have to watch my spouse or son or daughter or close friend go through such trials? How long before my adult children return to the Lord? How long before a romantic relationship comes my way? How long before someone gives me a call or sends me an SMS and shows me that they care? How long will we be experiencing COVID and the new normal? How long? How long? How long? Life for all of us raises all kinds of how long questions, doesn't it? For some of us, they may be our closest companions. For others of us, those questions, they might move in and out of our orbit as circumstances and experiences and situations come and go. How are we to respond? Is it okay, is it allowed to ask how long questions? Is that even the kind of thing that we can say to God? What if we get stuck in a how long cul-de-sac where our experiences consume and overwhelm us and we can't seem to find a way out? Personality and temperament play a part here. I imagine the way we respond to different situations and circumstances will be somewhere along a spectrum that has Pollyanna at one end and Eeyore at the other. Pollyanna types are excessively cheerful and optimistic. There is something about everything that you can be glad about if you keep hunting long enough for it. While at the other end, Eeyores tend to be pretty gloomy and glum and pessimistic about everything. The sky has finally fallen. Always knew it would. Sometimes those of us down the Pollyanna end of the spectrum can tend to move on too quickly from the heartache and the turmoil, from the hard. Have we really felt it? Acknowledged it? There is such a thing as being too quick to apply biblical truth to ourselves and sadly to others. Whereas those of us who are more down the Eeyore end tend to be in danger of getting stuck, of those circumstances and situations defining us, the hard becoming our identity. We never seem to make it through and experience the light of God and His Word. So, what do we do? How do we respond to our how long moments in life? Well, Psalm 13 is a really wonderful help for us here. Originally penned by King David and picking up on experiences that he was going through, but then as it became incorporated into the worship of God's people, it became a song that was sung corporately. As the subtitle says, it's a psalm of David, yes, but it's also for the director of music. So it's tremendously helpful for all of God's people. The psalm begins in a place of anguish. These are anguished cries, aren't they? The question of how long is asked not once or twice or three times, but four times over. Have a look with me from verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? David, he feels as though God has forgotten him, and not in some temporary way, but he's wondering if it's going to go on forever. It feels like a continual experience. What does it feel like for you when people forget you? Maybe you celebrate a special occasion like a birthday, but no one seems to remember. You don't even hear from your family or close friends. Or maybe it feels like more of a day-to-day kind of experience where people just seem to have forgotten you. You don't hear from anybody. You start to wonder, well, does anyone actually care? David feels as though God has forgotten him. He feels as though God is hiding his face from him. Have you ever felt that way? Wondering if God has forgotten you, that he's not paying you the attention that he once did. You wonder whether he's there for you anymore. In the book of Numbers, there's a famous passage, the priestly blessing or Aaronic blessing, where God tells Moses that this is the way that Aaron and the priests are to bless the Israelites. You might have heard it before. It's used sometimes at the end of some Bible college graduations, and I'm sure churches have used it over the years as well. It goes like this. It's Numbers 6, verse 24. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." It's a beautiful passage, but for David, it seems like, it feels like the opposite of that. Rather than God making his face shine upon him and being gracious to him, it feels as though God has forgotten him. Instead of God turning his face towards David and giving him peace, he's hiding his face from him. What's happened? What's happened to that blessing? This inevitably has an impact on David's thought patterns and on his heart. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? He cries out in verse 2. And every day have sorrow in my heart. I don't know if you've had that experience where your thoughts are just going round and round in your head. It can be torture at times. You replay scenarios over and over. You come up with solutions and plans only for them to be dismissed one by one. You know it's not getting you anywhere, but you just can't seem to get off this not-so-merry-go-round. Or having that feeling of overwhelming sorrow that you just can't shift. It just sticks to you in your inner being day after day. That's what it was like for David. And added to his feelings about God and his experience within, he faces threats from without as well, threats from outside. There is an opponent, a foe, an enemy, not told who specifically, but they threaten to triumph over him, we're told here, to be exalted over him. How long will it be like this? David asks. How long? How long? How long? How long? Notice that David asks these questions of God. It would seem to be okay, permitted to do that. Down through the centuries, Christians have sometimes been uncomfortable with that, lamenting to God, crying out to God, asking questions of God. Some have said it's inappropriate, or perhaps made us feel that it's inappropriate. But we're feeling beings, aren't we? We're created to feel. If that's how we're feeling, why not tell God? He already knows about it, doesn't he? Do we think he can't handle it? Or that we need to be more polite? But notice at the same time that David's asking these questions of God. He's addressing the Lord. He's turning to him with these deep feelings of anguish. How long, O Lord? And so it's not an indication of absent faith or even failing faith. It's evidence of faith. It's an expression of faith. As the psalm continues, as David's how long questions continue, he continues to turn to God in prayer. He moves from lament in verses 1 and 2 to request or petition in verses 3 and 4. Have a look from verse 3 with me. Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. It's kind of strange when you think about it, isn't it? You feel like God keeps on forgetting you, that he's hiding his face from you. And so what do? You keep on turning to him. But that's the life of faith, isn't it? Dale Ralph Davis talks about the logical disconnect here. He writes, "You pray and pray, and God does not pay attention. He hides his face, you say. You plead and cry, and there is no relief. So what do? You go right on praying, of course. To whom? To the God who has not heard. Is there any other? This is lousy logic, but excellent faith." I like that. Lousy logic, but excellent faith. David prays that God would look on him, that he would consider him, because he feels as though God has forgotten him and turned his face from him. He asks that God would answer him because he's asked all these questions of God. He's called out to God, how long? How long? So look on me and answer. He also asks God to give light to his eyes, otherwise his will be the sleep of death. And his enemy will be able to gloat over him that he's overcome David, and his foes will rejoice in his fall. There's a lot on the line here. This is King David we're talking about, God's anointed king. You might be aware of Psalm 2 and the promises there that the kings of the earth and the rulers try and take their stand against the Lord and his anointed one, the king. But the promise of the psalm is that their opposition will be futile because God has installed his king on Zion. God's king will rule over all others with an iron scepter. But David, the king, here seems to be close to death. And if he dies, what will happen to those promises? His enemies, his foes, would have the last laugh. The enemy triumphing over him that he feared in verse 2 would become a reality as they overcome and rejoice in his downfall in verse 4. David wants to avoid that reality, that outcome, and so he prays to God. O Lord, my God. He brings his requests to his God, that God would look on him, answer him, and that God would give light to his eyes. I think there's a really helpful order that we can identify here. See, we cry out to God in our anguish. We pour out our hearts. We express our feelings. We lament, and then we continue to press into him in faith. We bring our requests. We present our petitions that relate to our how long longings and anguish. We ask him to do something about the things that we're going through. Who else would we turn to? God invites us to both lament and to ask. We lament, yes, but we're not to get stuck there. We continue to pursue God, to pursue relationship with him, and we do that by praying, asking, requesting. This life of faith is seen clearly in the final two verses of the psalm. In the midst of lament and in the midst of these prayerful requests, David yet expresses certainty, which is amazing, really. But he can have certainty because of the object of his faith, the one in whom his faith is directed and placed. The way he ends the song is really quite remarkable, isn't it? Because has he received any answer to his requests? Has he been given any assurance? Has his situation, his circumstances changed? It doesn't seem like that. Presumably his how long questions are still going through his mind and his heart, and yet there is certainty. Have a look with me at verses 5 and 6. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. David trusts, rejoices, even sings. David, he expresses his trust in God's unfailing love. This is the special love that God has for his people, love that he's promised to give through his covenant, his promises. As the Jesus Storybook Bible puts it, this is his never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. It's a love that's strong enough and long enough and wide enough and good enough to be trusted even through all those how long moments. David's heart, it rejoices in God's salvation. Despite the shadow that death has cast over him, in the midst of the threats of his enemies, as he wrestles with his thoughts, and even as he has sorrow in his heart, he yet rejoices. Being saved, rescued, having God as your Saviour, knowing his salvation, that brings joy no matter what we might be going through, and even in the midst of what we might be going through. And David sings. He sings to the Lord because the Lord has been good to him. Some translations have because he has dealt bountifully with him. It's amazing that he can say that, isn't it? That he can sing that. But you do that too, don't you? Sunday by Sunday in the praise of God, you sing. You sing of his goodness in the midst of whatever circumstances and situations you arrive here with on a Sunday morning. We've done that again this morning, haven't we? See, we're communicating far more than we realize when we sing. And we do more good to ourselves and to our souls when we sing than we realize too. Think back to your how long questions. What's your how long question at the moment? And if you've got lots, just pick one or two. Are there any of them that would mean that you can't say what David says here? Are there any of them so powerful, so overwhelming, so threatening that you can't say, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." If you're a Christian, you actually have even more reason than David to respond in that way, to express this certainty even in the midst of unanswered requests and anguished how long questions. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 4. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. His love sent Jesus to the cross. It was love that held him down. That's unfailing, steadfast love, the kind of love you can trust. See, being assured of that kind of love through life can make all the difference in the world, can't it? Our hearts also rejoice in God's salvation, don't they? If they don't, there's something wrong. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For the grace of God that has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Titus 2. And 1 Peter 1, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And how good God has been to us, how bountifully he's dealt with us in the Lord Jesus. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. He's given us more than we could ask or imagine, hasn't he? Not treating us as our sins deserve, but rather lavishing his grace on us abundantly. You see, the Son Jesus went through his how long moment as he hung on the cross, as the Father turned his face away from him, so that we might sing of his goodness, of his generosity towards us. As this new year gets underway and bringing with it perhaps the same old how long questions as last year, perhaps presenting new ones for you, may we know that we can cry out to God in our anguish. May we persist in bringing our requests to him, our God, and all the while may we trust in his unfailing love, rejoice in his salvation, and sing of his goodness to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who is big enough and wise enough and strong enough to deal with all of our how long questions. We pray that you would help us with our different personalities and temperaments to cry out to you in our anguish, how long? Please grant us enduring faith that we might continue to press on, asking and requesting of you. And in the midst of our how long questions, perhaps being sustained and still being experienced, in the midst of having requests that from our perspective have yet to be answered. We thank you and praise you, especially through the Lord Jesus, that we can trust in your unfailing love. We thank you that we can rejoice in your salvation. And we thank you that we can sing of your goodness to us. Please, help us to know, as this new year gets underway, help us to know how to respond to the different situations and circumstances that you bring our way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to sing now. I'm going to sing of the Lord's goodness and his love and his salvation. So we'll join with the song as we sing.